morning we are going to light the Christ candle. For four Sundays during the season of Advent, we have lit four candles. Today we will light the one in the middle, known as the Christ candle. As I read this morning, I would invite you to respond. The words will be up on the monitor, the words that are in bold. We give thanks for the light of hope, inclusive and given for all. Our hope in Christ shines on. We give thanks for the light of peace, strong and unafraid. The peace of Christ lights our way. We give thanks for the light of joy, persistent and steadfast. The joy of Christ brightens our lives. We give thanks for the light of love, inclusive and affirming for all of God's beautiful creation. The love of Christ blesses and sustains us throughout our journey of life. Now let us light the Christ candle as we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Thank you, God, for your light in this world through Jesus Christ. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Let us pray. God, creator, guide, and the spiritual center of our lives, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to counter all the forces of evil, sin, suffering, and death, and to overcome evil with the force of good, hatred with the power of love, fear with the power of faith, through your great love for us in Jesus. Help us never to curse the darkness, but join with you in bringing your light into this world, the light that is your Son. Help us to be instruments of your light and love by being your special instrument of reconciliation this new year. May the Christ candle we light symbolize our desire to bring light into a world of darkness and hope into a world of despair. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you.
Good morning. Why don't we stand and worship together this morning?
One, two, three, four.
Typically on fourth Sundays, we do acoustic, but we had five Sundays, so we're doing acoustic worship this morning. Don't let that stop you from lifting your hands and praising God and singing out.
Has fallen when fear is coming, still you're calling me. When faith is lost and my hope exhausted, you will be my strength. When my mind says I'm not good enough, God, you're enough for me. Yeah, I've decided I'm not on me, and you won't give up on me. Your love is holding on and it won't let go. I feel it breaking out just like an echo. Your love is holding on and it won't let go. I feel it breaking out just like an echo. The echo in my soul. You have started until it is complete. When my mind says I'm not good enough, God, you're enough for me. I've decided I'm not giving up, and you won't give up on me, and you won't give up on me. Come on, your love is holding on and it won't let go. I've decided I'm not giving up. And you won't give up on me. And you won't give up on me. Your love is holding on and it won't let go. I feel it breaking out like an echo. Your love is holding on and it won't let go. I feel it breaking out, breaking out, breaking out. Your love is holding on and it won't let go.
Jesus, you're the name we're lifting high. You're
as we move into this next song. I chose this specifically for going into the new year, and I love the idea of being crushed and pressed and then turned into something beautiful and new. So this song speaks about asking Jesus to turn you into new wine through all of your pain, through all of your heartache, just to create something new out of you, to being brought up from the soil. So I want to take this song more as a time of reflection and prayer. So if you want to remain standing and sing along, you can. If you want to sit and listen to the words, you're more than welcome to. If you'd like to go into time of prayer as well, you are able to do that. But I really want you to focus on these words now that we're going into the new year. In the crushing, in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. So I yield to you and to your careful hand. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. Make me a vessel, make me an offering, make me whatever you want me to be. I came here with nothing, but all you have given me, Jesus, bring new wine out of me. In the crushing, in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. You are breaking new ground. So make me your vessel, make me an offering, make me whatever you want me to be. I came here with nothing, but all you have given me, Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. 'Cause where there is new wine, there is new power, there is new freedom, and the kingdom is here. I lay down my old flames to carry your new fire today. Thank you.
In a moment, everything changed. On a silent night came the promised child, in a stable so humble and poor. Unto us was born the Savior of the world. Love came down, hope was found, a star lit the sky. The angels cried glory, the light broke through the darkest night. Hope is alive, hope is alive, 'cause love came down. Love came down. In a moment, peace broke. There's no need to fear. In a manger, eternity rests. Unto us was born the Savior of the world.
Morning, everyone. Oh my God. Okay. Today's going to be a good day. I am so happy to be here every Sunday. It is literally one of the best gifts this church has been to me. But I definitely feel like I am standing here in large part because of Tracy and the men of the arena who have been so good to me and so kind, and so it's like every Tuesday night they just pour into me, and I hear them cheering me on even when I'm not there, and I am so happy you guys are here. Thank you for being here. All right. I love the church. I love everything about the church. The church is a beautiful community of people of different social backgrounds, histories, and lives. We are evangelicals and agnostics, Republicans and Democrats. We are immigrants and nationalized citizens. We are those who have nothing to offer and those who can still be surprised. We are those who mourn and those who rejoice. We are people desperate to grow and people resentful of change. We are the closeted, the fabulous, and the ones who can never catch a break. We are people who know we need mercy. I love the church because Jesus loves the church. I love the church because this is where God's work is often the clearest. I love the church because we don't look to each other for all the answers. We look to Jesus. We worship Jesus, not a label or a brand or a building. We worship the Jesus who laid down his life for the world. But why do we do this? Why do we come together and gather and sing and break bread and call this the church? I firmly believe that every human being on this planet needs a safe place and a nurturing place to belong. We all need a tribe of people, a village, a network, a family to watch over us, to encourage us. We need a place where we can discover our gifts and figure out how to use them. We need people close enough to see us for who we truly are and to encourage us to mature. But what makes the church so different, what makes a sacred community so special, is that it is here that we encounter God together. It is where the unexplainable chaos and pain of life meets the undeniable love and mercy of Jesus Christ. The church is a sacred community, one that has global and historical impact. Some of us are brand new Christians, new to the faith, and that is awesome. Welcome. You are welcome here. Others of us have a long line of relatives and family members that have been walking with Jesus for quite a long time. Joy Min's great-grandfather was in Korea when he met a United Methodist missionary who changed his life. Her great-grandfather then helped establish a church and served as an elder and became the first in his family to come to faith, an example that has influenced his great-granddaughter four generations later. Harmony Toluca Lake is a branch of Hollywood United Methodist Church, and we inherited an incredible legacy of justice and advocacy of the Hollywood community, who for years has answered the call to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. It has not escaped me for one moment that I stand here upon the shoulders of countless LGBT Christians and their allies, many of who have laid down their life so that people like me can walk through those doors without fear. And Joy's great-grandfather laid down his life for the church when he was killed by the communists during the Korean War, when he stayed behind to defend the church. I love the church because Jesus loves the church. Paul writes in Ephesians 5, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." In the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for my sheep." It's important to understand that God's love for the church is an emphasis, not an exclusion. The church, like the nation of Israel, was called out of the wilderness of their lives to be nourished and filled up by the love of God in order to bless others. We are called out of the wilderness of our lives to come together to be nourished and filled up by God's love in order to love and bless others more deeply, regardless of what others believe or don't believe. When Paul calls husbands to follow Christ's example in laying down their lives, we must understand that Paul is not calling us to drown our lives in service. We're not supposed to be attending every little church function so that we have no room for anything else. The goal is to allow the coming together, the sacraments, the singing, the breaking of bread, our sweet and sometimes challenging conversations, our convictions about what is good and just, to provide for each other a sacred rhythm upon which we build our lives. Church should be a community that grounds you so that you can bloom everywhere else. So how do we do this? How do we love the church as Christ loved the church? I'm so grateful for Paul's letters in the New Testament. Anytime I need to be refreshed and inspired to love others more deeply, I just sit down with Paul and I ask God to give me that heart. In Colossians chapter 3, I want to share a specific verse for you. Verse 12, Paul writes, "As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also you must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. That's a tall order for human relationships. Clothe yourselves with compassion, bear with one another, forgive, sing with one another. But if we look closely, we can see that God is calling us to love each other with our entire being and to embrace one another and the messy love of community with an open heart and an open mind. Paul begins by urging the Colossian church to be compassionate. Compassion has nothing to do with what I think and what I feel about your pain. Compassion has everything to do with taking steps towards understanding what it is that you think, what it is that you feel, what it is that you are experiencing in the stress and chaos of the situation. And then, as I begin to understand you, what steps am I taking towards relieving some of that pain? If we are going to truly extend compassion to one another in a deep and sustaining way, we must first extend that compassion towards ourselves. We often talk about unconditional love being our goal in our relationships, what we long for. But how do you think it would feel if you had unconditional love for yourself? If you accepted yourself and all of your pain and flaws with an open and unapologetic heart instead of one of shame and resentment, what would that feel like for you? And can you imagine the kind of compassion we would extend at Harmony to others if unconditional self-love was our common practice? Paul continues by urging the Colossian church to be humble and meek. Again, this seems very straightforward until you apply it to yourself. I want to encourage you with this. What would it look like for you to be humble and gentle with yourself? I think the biggest step in that direction is do not compare your spiritual journey with someone else's. For some people, being gentle is walking away. For other people, being gentle is sticking it out and enduring. In efforts to be like Jesus, our goal is not to become little demigods that can withstand anything. Our goal is to reflect his heart and his passion and his gentleness as best we can, as much as we can. Because our love is our biggest witness to others. It is what glorifies God the most. Anything else, and we risk undoing with our lives what we build on Sunday. We must be sensitive and tender with ourselves and others if we are going to love the church in a deep and sustaining way. One night at small group, Ron said that the church is to be like a hospital. When you come into the emergency room, everyone comes with their own bumps and bruises and wounds. You might have a terrible headache, but if a girl walks in with her leg cut off, she goes first. Obviously. All hands on deck to help her. But that's what the church should be like, Ron said. But Ron clarifies that the difference between a church and an emergency room is that in a church, you don't always know who's hurting or why. And so we have to put on a heart of compassion, of humility, of kindness and gentleness, and seek to understand why we act the way we do and why we respond the way we do so that we can take steps towards relieving that. Author Adrienne Marie Brown writes, "What we need is a culture where the common experience of trauma, many of us are hurt by different things, leads to the normalization of healing. Needing healing should be a normal thing. Needing love should be a normal thing. Being able to say, I have good reasons for being scared of the dark, of raised voices, of being swallowed up by love, of being alone, should lead us to consider how we can be compassionate toward one another. I'll hold your hand in the dark. Let's start a meditation practice. Perhaps talk therapy isn't enough. You may not realize this, Harmony, but this the entire structure of this church is centered around creating a sacred space that is approachable and healing, specifically for those who have been hurt by the church. We call this the gathering, not the service. We have a joy box instead of an offering plate. The songs that Melinda chooses are sometimes chosen to help foster new and healing rhetoric around God and Jesus that makes it very clear this sacred space is welcome to all. Paul continues by calling the Colossian church to be forgiving, which is very important the longer you stay in any community. We must forgive each other for being weak, for being wrong, for being forgetful, stubborn, and oftentimes unchanging. We must stop expecting everyone who calls themselves a Christian to be little Jesuses and expect that everyone, regardless of what they profess, that they need mercy. When we study theology, we often call the character of God the perfections of God because God is perfect in every way. God is perfectly loving, perfectly kind. I am not perfectly loving. I am not perfectly kind. On my best day, my love is like a puddle in a desert. On my best day. But every single day, God's love is like the ocean. Like the ocean. On my best day, my love is like a street light in the middle of the night. It probably flickers. But every single day, God's love for you and for this world and for everyone is like the sun, and it warms and nourishes us all the time. On our best day as a community, our love is like a puddle. We are deeply flawed. But this is why it is so important that we point to the one who is like the sun, who is like the ocean. So when the veil is pulled back and we begin to see and hear the drama that is in part of every community, when our common humanity sort of surfaces, I want to encourage you to see that as an invitation to love and an invitation to lean on the one who is perfect in every way. We must remember that our divine creator has the power to use conflict to shape and mature us if we are open to it. Depending upon what faith tradition you grew up with, you might only understand redemption in terms of salvation. But the Bible points to over and over again that God has every intention of not just redeeming us in that way, but redeeming the pain and redeeming the heartache and redeeming the stress. In the book of Joel, God promises Israel by saying, "I will redeem the years the locusts have eaten." And that is a promise that you can hang your hat on. It is often said that your greatest ministry will come from your greatest hurt, and your greatest impact on the world will come from where you have just been hurt the most. But I firmly believe that if you are open to it, God can redeem anything. I heard a pastor say one time that the first 7 years of his marriage were a nightmare. He was hot-tempered and was angry all the time and often expected her to reject him in ways that he had felt rejected growing up, and she was self-absorbed and often selfish about a lot of things. And the first 7 years were very, very challenging. But then by year 6 or 7, he made it his point to no matter what happened that day, that he was going to make it his mission to affirm every good thing that he saw God doing in her, to cultivate, to put forth his energy to cultivate that good. She really, really loved music, and so he saved up his money and bought her a piano. He made every effort to honor her and to celebrate her and to do it verbally, to sometimes do it publicly, so that she felt cherished. And in time, he did it as well. And today, she has a very public ministry that's for a women's ministry, and he is a much more tender and compassionate man. There's something about this accepting the invitation to love that really does transform us in very wonderful ways. I firmly believe that Jesus is not trying to stress us out or open us up to hurt when he calls us to love one another. I believe that our divine creator is creating circumstances or allowing circumstances to unfold in which we are invited to love and to learn to love better and more deeply and more fully. I want to leave you with this one last thought. dream big. We are babies of a community. We are 1 year old and counting. What are your dreams for this community? Maybe one day we can offer a free after-school program for families in need. Maybe one day Melinda's We Need to Talk panels will center us at on the discussions of justice. Maybe one day we will be a bridge between the creative community and the church. I don't know. All I know is that every time Paul writes to the church, he says, I thank God every time I think about you. And in one letter he writes, for who is our hope or joy, O crown of exaltation? Is it not even you? Paul is talking about a church, a group of deeply flawed human beings. And he calls them our glory and our joy. May God knit us together in 2019. May God deepen our love for one another and deepen our courage to embrace his perfect love. And may we learn to love ourselves more deeply in the process. Let us pray. Divine Creator, give us a passion for the church, a passion for this Harmony to Toluca Lake community. Give us the courage to love ourselves and others with a love that is unashamed and unrestrained. We long so much for our love to not just be a spark in our community, not just to be a flame, but a light for the whole world to see. And when conflict comes, when things fall apart, when the veil is pulled back and our humanity is made clear, give us the courage to embrace one another with the tough fibers of the human heart, and to think and to sing and to rest upon your perfection and your perfect love for us, upon which we build our faith. And thank you for Joy's great-grandfather, who for by his love and passion for the church inspires us today to love you more deeply and to trust you more fully. We love you. We are so grateful for another Sunday. Protect us, I pray. Amen.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Why don't you stand and pass the peace of Christ with each other? Together. We hope you have a wonderful new year and many blessings to all of you.
Through every battle, through every heartbreak, through every circumstance, I believe that you are my fortress. Oh, you are my portion. You are my hiding. And I'm set on you, and you make me here today. with mercies that are new. Oh, and all my fears and doubts, they can all come to, because they can't stay long when I'm here with you. It's a new horizon, and I'm set on you, and you meet me here today with mercies that are new. Oh, and all my fears and doubts, they can all come to, because they can't stay long when I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life.